Why do you keep reacting the same way, even when you know better? What if the behaviors frustrating you right now were programmed long before you were even aware of them? Welcome back to The Advisor. Today we're going deeper into something that impacts every single one of us, the hidden origins of our behavior. Because the truth is, most of what you do today didn't start today. It started years ago through your environment, your emotional experiences, and the patterns your brain and body learned to survive. And today we're breaking that down with Brian Osborne, the founder of Interior Design Your Mind. He helps people understand and reprogram the patterns running their lives so change finally starts to feel natural instead of super forced. Brian, it's really great to be here with you. I'd love to just jump right into it, and I'd love to ask you, when you say that behavior is learned and not chosen, what does that mean? Can you explain that a little bit?
Absolutely. So if you think about it, there's a lot of generational items around where people have generations of whether it is entrepreneurs, generations of plumbers, electricians. It's all generational. It's what is taught to you at a young age and then what gets reinforced throughout. That's why you have generations of carpenters and family businesses passed down from generation. You got generational wealth. All that early development is the young individual that is recording everything that's happening around them, and that gets programmed within them, and that's all they know. And then next thing you know, it's who you are.
Yeah, I was in a pretty deep healing session this weekend, this past weekend, and I was going into some pain, like just like facing it head first. And the hypnotherapist was asking me to go deeper into it. Where did I feel that pain? And I said, I felt it in my heart. And then I was asked to relate another word to it. And I kept going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until I got to my father's side of the family, like generation to generation to generation. So I got to my father's pain. And then his father's pain, and then his father's pain. And then it came full circle to like essentially the light inside, like it's all pure love. But it came from, I didn't even know those people. Like, it was so long ago, hundreds of years.
Because that's all within our DNA
Yeah.
in which those memories all get passed down, those habits. So somewhere, so say for example, you don't like radishes. Well, somebody in the family tree made that decision long ago that you don't like radishes. So then
Right.
it just gets trickled down, trickled down, trickled down, where now radishes aren't even in the house, as an
Yeah.
example. But everything is passed down from generation to generation, which is why people always say history repeats itself. But that's actually not the actual case, but more so the generational memories that get passed down that are reinforced throughout time that trigger that emotion, that looping pattern within your body that actually displays it afterwards. So when you're at a young age from 0 to 7, like I said in the previous episode, you're in delta and theta brainwaves. So you're just absorbing all the tones, everything around you, every little, not necessarily the words, but the tone and the environment, the culture, who you interacted with, what you ate, what was cooked, when you did it, when you went to bed. All of those habits were picked up at such a young age. And then once you started getting your conscious mind, well, that's when they started to take hold of you, and that's who you became. That's why certain people go in certain directions and others don't. It's just who you are that you didn't even realize that you are being programmed.
Yeah, no kidding. Sponge is right. Like, it's wild. Like, my nephew is so young. I picks up things so quickly. Like, you gotta be so careful what you say and do and how you act around children because it's immediate. They're like parrots, right? They want to learn and they're just so open. That's our foundation. That's where we learned everything. So, what about the
It's where we
emotional
learned everything.
experiences? Yeah, what about the emotional
So
experiences?
the emotional experiences. So the way that I have been explaining it recently and just put a whole video out on it, which you can find is the inner tube theory, is that these loops get placed into your body at a young age and they become habits over time. So then within that inner tube, it's an emotional cocktail. But now picture it as an inner tube, as if you're at a high-end resort stationed up on a tube at the bar. And the mixologist, which is your brain, keeps serving you drinks. And then you look across the pool and you see a vacant blue tube, which is now, you know, your new idea, your new concept, the new habit that you want. Well, it puts a little hole in your current tube, which then the mixologist, your brain, will sit there and go, here's a patch. Don't swim to that. This is easier. Here, just stay where you are. Just put a patch on that tube and everything's fine. But when you want to break it, you look down, you realize the tube is covered in nothing but patches, which is your old excuses. So then when you want to go to the blue tube and you decide to take the swim, well, you're not just treading in water at this time. All that chemical emotion that was in that loop is now causing a current within your body. So now you're trying to go to that new habit that you want to learn, but you're going through all that chemical mixture, which is why your chest gets all tight and your stomach gets all upset. It's because your vagus system is trying to flush it out, like kind of shocking a pool when something gets in there that's not supposed to. But as you're swimming, that current's going to try to hit you into similar old habits, which were also red tubes that are all patched up with your excuses, that actually tries to put you there. So when you're trying to swim to it, you just got to allow your body to flush out all that emotional cocktail within your body to actually clear it out of the system so you can get there. But once you get there, nobody knows who you are because your brain only recognizes that patched up red tube personality habit that was sitting there. So as you get into the new habit, you start going towards the bar again, and the brain, the mixologist, is just like, hey, who are you and what are you be having? And then eventually they start learning your drink, and next thing you know, it's just a brand new habit that doesn't cause any thoughts. But the problem is that when somebody has so many patched up tubes in them and they teach their kids that it's okay just to patch the tube and not go get a new one, well, now you don't know how to fix a habit and you just live in those habits for the rest of your life and not even realizing you're even doing it.
Yeah, I like that analogy. Change is hard. It's so hard. And the body and the mind, or I mean the mind, the brain loves predictability. And so I remember driving to an old gym before, like I switched gyms and decided to do something different, but I was on autopilot and I was like, why am I here? Wait a minute, I'm going somewhere new. And everything feels so hard when you're going through these changes, like friction and resistance, even though, you know, it's better for you. You know, it's hard to make those decisions.
That the beta brain waves throughout the course of your day, from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed, it's that defensive, that survival brain that makes you want to stay exactly where you are. No change allowed. We're keeping you safe. This is what we know. Don't think about it. I have it under control. Just do your thing with it. But everybody tries to change a habit within those brain states, which doesn't work. Because if you're not thinking about it, you're just going, right? Kind of like how you just went to the old place, not even thinking about it. You just went on autopilot, right? Because when your brain is thinking of something else, it's keeping you in survival and it's going to try to distract you to just go on autopilot. So this way you're safe. You, no thinking, just living your life. But within those brain waves, that's the hardest time to break the habit because you don't even know it's occurring, which is why I'm in the process of creating these, what I'm going to start calling the IBL system, which just interrupting those behavioral loops just in real time within beta so that it's not just listening anymore. It's actual environmental focused standpoints that'll actually break habits for you to essentially close a tab within your browser of your brain so it stops taking up that space and running in the background. You could just close it out and just start creating a whole new life.
Which is really interesting because up until this point, like I only truly believed that I was able to affect change if it was difficult or during that very liminal state right before you fall asleep and in the morning, right when you wake up. That is like literally for me, the most impactful part of my night and my morning. Because in those moments, if I, whatever I choose to think and do and create is going to impact the rest of my day. Like it's so impactful. I don't think people realize, you know, when you get up to go to the washroom, you're kind of in that daze and you're out of it. Like that's such a crucial part of it. But you're creating this new, way. So tell us more about it. What do you mean? How does it work?
So like you said, when going to bed and waking up early or when you wake up, when you're in the right brain states, you can 100% change any habit. But in the beta, in the middle of the day, it's next to impossible. So for example, I just went golfing yesterday. So the whole night before, I sat there and I played every hole out in my head. every hole, what I was going to shoot, everything else. I'm like, we're going to see if this works. It didn't work perfect, but it was the best round I've had all year, which is fantastic, right? So I started programming that in me. But the system that I'm creating is basically like command blocks that, let's say, for the drop zone that everybody hates because you come in from a long day of work, you just drop your keys, you drop your wallet, you drop this on the table, the drop zone, and you just walk away. Well, let's say there was a organization or a command block that says, for example, you know, do it now, you won't see it later.
Right.
Right. So that little catchy command is going to interrupt that pattern to go, oh, you're right, I shouldn't drop it there. Or like a remote control holder where it's, this is where you usually give up right before you grab the remote, you know? So this way it's interrupting it in real time and make your brain start going, oh, yeah, we should probably start changing that habit right now. So it interrupts it mid-time, but also keeps it semi-organized for you.
Right. I'm laughing because I'm imagining my closet right now. Just been like throwing stuff in there lately and I'll deal with that later. But if I had a trigger note in there to interrupt that pattern, like saying something like, do you really want to put this here, Lisa? You're going to have to deal with this later. That, I think that would have changed things for me, depending. Maybe if it was Sunday night and I was really tired. What happens to the body when it gets triggered like that? What does a trigger do?
So it interrupts that loop. So kind of like the inner tube, as soon as you see that, it's going to puncture that where it's going, oh, because it's a habit. It's not a big habit, but it's a little one. But it's going to picture a little hole where it's going to be like, okay, so all this is leaking out now because you know you're not supposed to do it. Then the brain goes, okay, so we're not going to do this. We're actually going to put it away this time. And then if you do it again, and again, and again, next thing you know, you're in a whole new tube because your body's now going through that shock treatment where it's, no, we're not going to do that anymore. Yeah, let's put it where it actually has to go. So when you do that, what you're doing is actually freeing up your mind and your brain to do other things. Because when you just put it down in the drop zone or close in the closet, that's an open tab up here that you don't even realize is running in the background. It's still there going, probably should have put them there. Now I got to go clean them up later, but I really don't feel like doing it now. Let me go ahead and watch TV. They're still there, but it's still running. But if you interrupt that midday and you close that tab out, well, now it's not on your mind anymore. Now it's just clean, ready to go. The problem is that it's not an organizational problem that people have. It's not a mindset problem that people have. It's a pattern problem. The habits that were built over time that no amount of organizational systems or mindset work can actually change. It's interrupting that habit, that loop, that nervous system loop to actually fix it.
Yeah. So we talked a lot about learned responses. So things like people pleasing and procrastination and anxiety or shutting down, all of these can feel like extreme emotions and people feel pretty shamed about them. And nobody likes those feelings and they're very difficult and negative. So are you saying that these are all learned behaviors as well?
Everything is a learned behavior. If you think about it, kid gets born in this world has no concept of judgment or procrastination or anything like that. Nothing. It's got nothing. Everything is a learned behavior. It's just what was reinforced at a young age that created who you are today or what you have learned what to do or not to do that has created just about everything. Then that could go from, you know, for me, 20 years in leadership, I learned what I wanted to be as a manager and what I didn't want to be. Seeing where my parents went on how to earn money versus how to actually learn money when you actually did a little research. You know, the only thing that I'm trying to train myself to do now that was a habit that was never learned is to finish a project. And I'm sure many people out there, especially guys that don't finish projects. And it's not your fault. It's just you were programmed not to finish a project. You don't know how to finish a project. Because if you're anything like me, my dad would take over towards the end and say, you're not doing it right. I'll finish it. So that habit of finishing a project was actually never learned. The habit was how not to finish a project.
Right.
Right. So everything has a polar opposite. So the habit you're trying to create or the habit you're trying to get rid of, well, first you need to identify what's the opposite and where did this originate from? So like when you went through your healing session and you got to the real root cause of it, that's what you have to do sometime for the bigger habits. And how to change them is like you said, before you go to bed and when you first wake up in the morning, It's how you do it. But it doesn't work when the environment changes or the environment enforces the behavior versus your thoughts. Mm-hmm. So it's that midday behavioral triggers that are needed in order to actually reinforce you breaking the actual habit.
And I want to talk about how it's going to feel, because I know I was very much, probably still am in a lot of cases, a people pleaser and an easygoing girl. And I didn't speak up a lot. And when you hold stuff down for a long time and you don't speak your mind, that can cause an explosion of some of sorts. And I remember gaining so much courage to have this conversation with a former partner of mine. And I had the conversation. And after I did, I left and my body like went into shock. Like it was so intense. Like my system couldn't handle it. And so my body was shaking and I was crying, but I was so proud of myself all at the same time. And I remember my mentor being like, yeah, because you're interrupting the pattern. Your body's not used to this. And so it has to process that. And so as we're going through these changes and trying to create new patterns, what is the experience going to be like?
Tightness in chest, upset stomach, but know that you're doing nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. You're doing nothing wrong at all. The only thing that you're doing, and now that you have the awareness of it, is just to allow your system to get out that old chemical cocktail that is no longer you. It's mm-hmm. one of the hardest things, because we're taught when your chest gets tighter, you get upset, you call it anxiety, fear, nervous, whatever other word you want to throw in there, but it's not. It's just your body reacting the way it's supposed to and flushing out what no longer serves you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I always tell people, be comfortable feeling uncomfortable. If you don't feel that tightness, if you don't feel your vagus system flushing out those chemicals that you no longer need, you're not breaking a habit.
Right.
Because the reality is your mind is playing tricks on you to stay there. And it's actually better than what you're ever going to experience once you actually break that habit and just run through the door.
Mm-hmm. And most people label themselves
because once that
in these moments,
chemical releases.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
People label it because the brain is trying to summarize what the body's going on, what's going on in the body. But the brain can only summarize what it knows, what it was taught, what mm-hmm. would actually occur in your past to actually create that memory, that summary, that word to describe what's going on versus just knowing just my body flushing out my system. Okay, perfect. Suck it up for 2-3 days and just push through it. It's not easy because your brain is very powerful to keep you to where you are. Extremely powerful, especially at a habit that was passed down from generation to generation. But just know that you're not broken. It's not anxiety. It's not nerves. It's just your body system just flushing out what no longer serves you.
Yeah, it's making me think of people going to see their doctor, you know? If only these conversations were had in those clinics. And I don't want to bring up I'm not a doctor and any of that, but I agree with you. I think we have to sit with those hard emotional experiences in order to have change occur. And the hardest things to face are those emotions, because we were all conditioned to think that they were negative and that we shouldn't be feeling that way, right? Like we were all conditioned that we'll suck it up, like just push through and run away from them. So that's another pattern right there. It all comes down to the theory that you mentioned earlier, that these are just learned behavior.
That's all they are. Everything in this world is just learned. The problem is what most people have unlearned now, unfortunately, is the word that you brought up earlier, patience. People lack patience now. And to break a habit or create a habit requires patience. But with everything that you can go online now, order a car and get it in your driveway in the same day, nobody has patience. If you go
kidding.
On
when
Amazon
says 3 days, I'm like, really? 3? You can't do better than 3?
You see 3 different products of the same thing. One you can get that afternoon, one tomorrow morning, or one in 3 days. You're going to pick the one that you get that night. Even if it's not the best quality, you're still going to order that one because we don't have patience.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm.
And that's now a learned behavior, especially with the next generation coming up. It's just, we're not going to have that. So to have that patience to continue to learn it and work on that is going to justify everything, but that's the habit that and the behavior that everybody has recently lost.
Because
everybody wants it now. But unfortunately, with the body, it doesn't happen now. It takes time to grow. You reached a certain age and a certain height with time. Before you were born, it took time. Everything has a time frame, but unfortunately, we just don't have the patience. But to start understanding how your body works and understanding what habits truly are and how your body operates and where it originated from, that is where the start is. But having that patient portion of it, well, that's a beast within itself.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's a fact. There's so many quick fixes or quote unquote quick fixes out there these days that aren't quick fixes. And it's so important to understand that change takes time, like major time. What about how do we start identifying where a behavior is actually learned from? Like someone listening, maybe they recognize a pattern in themselves and they want to know how they can start identifying where this originated from. What advice would you give them?
It depends on the pattern. So if it is, let's say, a simple one, loading the dishwasher. Well, if you moved into a house, guess what? That pattern, you were taught that pattern. You taught that pattern yourself not to do it because that was a brand new environment. That right there, that was all you. You trained yourself to do that. But you can untrain yourself to do that. But now bigger ones, as far as food or what type of car you like, what kind of car you drive, what type of house, money paradigms, starting a business, where you're at. Those were all originated at a young age. I can tell you right now that most individuals, that the type of vehicle that they drive is most likely associated with a parent or a relative driving a similar vehicle, whether it's leasing or buying, the certain make or model. I actually had a friend one time that wanted a Jeep Wrangler, and his family was a big Nissan family. He told me he was going to go out and buy a Wrangler. I said, dude, good for you. Go get it. And he came back with a Nissan because that habit, that ingrainedness just said, I can't do it because my body is pulling me towards the environment culture that I know of a Nissan, because that's all I've ever known with my family, to go buy one of them versus what I truly want. Now, you might not think that's a habit, but it is, because it's the same features as far as pulling you into something more comfortable versus the what you actually once, right? So everything is a habit. It's just trying to figure out where it originated from. More so, once you say, did I create it or was it learned? Then you go, okay, it's a learned behavior. Let's say making money. Well, I learned at a young age that if you want to make money, you better work 80 hours a week, 2 full-time jobs.
Yeah, I can relate.
That's a terrible way to make money.
Totally.
Right? I didn't know any better. It's what my dad did. I saw where we started. There was 8 of us in a 63 square foot home where there was 5 boys in 1 bedroom. But my dad worked 80 hours a week to get us out of there into a bigger home. So that's what I knew, how to make money to get where I wanted to go. Obviously, I learned later on that that's not the case. But before I had this awareness, that's all I knew. It's what I did. So I always had 2-3 jobs at a time. It's what my brothers do. But the other thing too, with an environment and culture and the upraising, is think of your siblings. Every sibling is similar, but yet different. The differences between the siblings is what the parents were going through at that particular time was ingrained within the individuals. So with my siblings, I can tell you exactly how my parents were at those ages and how it all transpired. Because it was the environment, the culture, the community within where you grew up, the relationships, everything. I can actually pinpoint every single one of them now just because I'm aware of it, right? But that's the generational and how much the generations and the environment and culture plays effect. It's why you can look like your siblings, but you're all exactly different based upon what was happening in that environment during the time of you growing up.
Yeah, I can relate to that car story. I grew up in the country and I remember I wanted a Honda Civic and my family's like, you should get a higher vehicle. We live in the country. You're going to be driving down gravel roads. And so all of that played a big part in it because that was their learned They're a learned behavior. They wanted me to be safe. They wanted me to have a tough car so that I could handle those roads and drive on the highways to the big city. But I fought against them. Like a part of me feels like I rebelled against those things. I mean, which is a good thing for breaking those patterns. But I did feel shame, like for going against what they were telling me to do. And so how does removing shame change the entire process?
See, because you just brought up an interesting word there, which was rebel. You felt like you rebelled against that.
Totally, 100%.
Which you were actually, right? But what you were actually doing was going against that habit, that loop, that protective system. You were going away from that, and it was trying to pull you back. Instead of becoming the new loop, the new personality, you went, your body just went, nope, this is what we know. This is the habit. This is what's within it. Come back, right? People that actually went out and bought a new Honda Civic, they call it, I was rebelling against my parents because this is what I wanted. No, you actually created a new loop, a new identity, a new habit, right? Because that's all you did. Because you call it rebelling, but now let's say you went out and bought that Honda Civic. You created that new habit. Well, guess what? That habit will now be passed on for generations,
and
not that old one.
I did, and my cousin ended up buying one, and she lived right next to me, and she's younger than me. And so their family then started looking at vehicles in a different way. How interesting is that?
Right? But it's all about breaking that original one to create a new one. And then that becomes a new legacy that gets passed on from generation to generation. Because now that old concept, it's gone.
Right.
But the new one is now taken over. It's not rebellious. It's not, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm just saying for this example, I don't want people to take rebellious in a different way, but that shame is just your brain playing tricks on you, trying to keep you exactly in the same inner tube. So this way, it doesn't lose it because it knows it. It knows who it is. It doesn't know the Honda Civic individual. No, it knows that old, reliable dirt road transportation vehicle. It's all it knows.
Right.
So it doesn't want anybody to know.
Mm-hmm. How do people start observing their patterns in a way that's effective so that they can understand what's not working and what's working? So a lot of us wake up, like you said, we're on autopilot.
We're on autopilot. But what's working and what's not working is all based upon the individual. Because you could either change the habit, change the pattern, change the routine, paradigm, whatever you want to call it, or you can embrace it and enhance it. So whether you want it or not, that's up to you. But identifying, is this serving you in the way that you want it to serve you? And once you identify that, that is when you go, okay, I can make this work for me, but how can I improve it? But the other problem is too, is that we're always thinking of us and us only. But those habits get passed down just like the habits did to you. Mm-hmm. So when you're sitting there thinking about creating or changing or getting rid of a habit, a pattern, you got to sit there and go, is this something that'll serve generations to come? Mm-hmm. Right? Because that is what it comes down to once that awareness comes out. Because we all have them, whether it's money paradigms, which are always a big one that I always hear, fear, which I don't believe exists at all. It's just learned behaviors. And things just get passed down to you where it's just, do you want to keep it within the family's cycle or do you want to break it? And that's all it comes down to. And then you have that awareness going, okay, I want to break it. How do I do it? Go to bed thinking about how you want it to feel. Wake up, go through the same motions, start your day, and just have those midday habit interruptions. Whether it's a new background on your phone that catches your eye, something different within that environment to change those actual behaviors.
Mm-hmm. You say fear, you don't think fear is a real thing. So I'm trying to understand that on a deeper level. And so I would say I have a fear of heights. I have a fear of being in front of large audiences and speaking. Are you saying that those are learned behaviors?
Absolutely. Did you come out into this world by the age of 7 and know exactly what heights were?
No.
Did you know what it was like standing in front of a crowd of people and having a presentation?
No.
You'd be out in the park throwing a tantrum and not even care.
Right.
So that's something that you've always done at a young age, just never correlated it with something else. So now we're getting into, like, have you ever fallen from somewhere where you're like, oh, I got to be afraid of being 8 feet up because I fell off the jungle gym one time? You probably don't remember that.
Right.
Right. But movies, videos, past history from generations, that instills upon you, it's just reinforced. So at a young age, if you If your parents were afraid of heights and you climb up something and they go, don't get down from there, you're going to get hurt. Now
that's
you're going to correlate height with fear of that you're going to fall, even though you've never done it. But now you're going, oh, I got up high. I was told not to go up this high. I might fall, so I'm not going to go up this high anymore. Well, fear of heights was just created with just simple words. And tone was the most important part, because it's not like, hey, Lisa, can you please get down from there? You're going to get hurt. No, it was probably stop, get down, you're going to get hurt, which then the tone alone instills that fear inside of you. Now I'm afraid of heights.
Yeah.
Even though you're not. Yep. It's just there. It's just an emotional loop that was just toned into your body that says you're afraid of it, but you're really not. It's just replaying that memory of mom or dad screaming at you saying, get down, you're going to get hurt off that height. And now it's, nope. That's all it is, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. We're limitless beings, and we were born completely innocent. And I'm thinking to the tree we had in our front yard, and my brother and I would climb it, and we built a chair at the top of it, and it terrified my mom so much when we climbed that tree. And so because it terrified her so much, she couldn't handle it, and so she projected her fear onto us, because when we were in it, she imagined us falling and whatever, something bad happening, which then made it harder and harder to climb that tree. I remember being shaky, and at first I was unstoppable, but then with her continuously being afraid of us being on there, it made it harder to climb.
And then, boom, fear of heights. Yeah, even though nothing bad happened, just something that was ingrained.
So this is how we go back and we look at these patterns then, I guess, right? It's just, where did that come from? Where does it come from? What experiences did you have as a child with heights or, you know, people or strangers? You know, I know people are terrified of other human beings, probably because their family told them they don't talk to strangers. You know, something bad might happen.
You know, and it's funny how we all grew up going, you know, don't talk to strangers. Don't get in a car with strangers. Now you order an Uber on your phone and you're in a car with a stranger anyway. Right.
And I hesitate now, with that because of the past. Yeah, for sure.
Right. But other generations are like, oh, I'll just order an Uber. No big deal.
Yeah.
But we were all taught that. So now it's like, oh, okay. Is your name right? Let me check the license plate. What's your rating? Like,
yeah.
We all do that. But the younger generation, no, because that wasn't instilled within them.
Yeah.
Right. So everything is traced through a story, through an explanation. But once you get that awareness, like the fear of heights, now you just went, we had a tree. And that was up there. And then mom always said this. So then I started feeling this. And then I became afraid of heights. See, it all just triggered just from those little words that got to the root cause of what that fear is. But really, it's that little memory playing in the back of your head that instills that fear, so to speak.
So for the person listening right now who might feel stuck in a cycle that they can't break, what do you want them to understand, or what do you want them to hear from this episode today?
That you're not broken. You're just pattern. Everything and everything was learned. Everything has been upgraded in life. Everything that was built started with an idea. That idea is what you got to move towards. So if you want to create something, build something, start something, just do it. At no point in time are you limited except for the emotional memories that are tying you to where you are. They are anchoring you down. Just go for it. It's going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to feel that tightness. You're going to feel that gut. You're going to feel that system pulling you back to what is comfortable. You just got to push through it. Keep doing what you're doing. Follow your heart. Follow your gut. And know that it will get better. The hardest thing is to just start. Because you're not broken. You're just patterned. Everything has the beginning of a story. What's yours? Because you could just start a whole new book. Write a whole new book. You get to be chapter one. What is the new habits you want to create?
Brian, how long does it take to create a new pattern? Is there scientific evidence of a certain amount of time, or is that a rumor?
There is no evidence as far as the time frame, because although we can physical items, you can go ahead and see. Like, we all know a baby takes 9 months. There's certain things. How long does it takes a week for you to notice that your grass needs to be cut? You know it's a year to get your car in service. You know, everything has a time period. But when you're creating something or breaking something, we don't know because they're all different.
Right.
But the bigger the habit, the longer it's going to take. But the smaller one, shorter amount of time. But it's also how much effort you put into actually doing it. So like, we all know April 15th is tax day, but yet some people wait until April 15th Some people do it January 1st. Some people file for an extension. Mm-hmm. Worst case scenario, you don't do it at all, right? But it depends on your habit and what who you want to become. Not who you are, but who you want to become. But right. There's no scientific, takes, you know, 72 hours to go ahead and break one. They're all different, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Yeah. No, there's just the 21-day rule. I hear that all the time. If you do something for 21 days, you're going to start a new habit. But I don't quite buy into that. I think you're right. Everything is different and there's so many factors involved. I would love for you to tell the audience more about the work that you do.
So I am a behavioral architect where I help people, one, find their root of their fears to overcome them, to break or create habits, to interrupt them midday, to have a nightly routine and a morning routine through meditation of the custom goals in which you are trying to accomplish and change. And most importantly, when I work with people is I break it down into understanding in terms that those individuals understand, whether it's a TV show, a sports metaphor, a movie, whatever it may be. I try to get it into terms that are relatable. So this way it truly understand it versus the scientific mumbo jumbo that just sounds right, but usually isn't right that people use. So I try to do things like the first thing I usually ask people is, what is your favorite movie? I had a client one time told me 50 First Dates, the Adam Sandler movie. Right. And I went, yep. Okay. So you live your life on repeat. Okay. Now I know why you like that movie so much, you know, but you're getting older, but you're just repeating it. So now I know, right? But now that movie, I was able to articulate different scenes of it to help her understand where the habits are and how to break them.
Right.
You know, so it's not just a one size fits all. No, I do custom stuff to help individuals grow because it's not one size fits all. It's one size fits most. So I try to, you know, keep everything simple, but that is what I do. And I work on different theories and I always learn and educate where it's not, hey, I'm the master. I know what I'm talking about. No, I still learn, read, and do that every single day to make sure that I'm giving the best version of myself help individuals.
Amazing. And where can people find more information about you?
So you can find me at interiordesignyourmind.com. You can also go with leadwithbrian.com. That's more leadership focused, whether you're trying to lead yourself or lead a team. But you can find me there. I'm on YouTube and TikTok at interiordesignyourmind. And you can find out more because I just posted a video yesterday about my inner tube theory. So I'm hoping to get that one out there.
Beautiful. Well, thanks so much for being here today and for getting through the tech issues so we could record this amazing episode. I think it's really important that people learn how to design their own life more so than ever. The world is changing in so many ways and people don't know who they are. And so people don't realize how much of a choice they have in every day. And so you've really highlighted how much of a choice we do have.
Yep. And it's not about becoming someone new. It's just utilizing what you have.
Yeah.
And just redesigning it to a way that fits your operation. Which is why I created Interior Design Your Mind, is to utilize what you have and just redesign the room in there to make it feel better and operate efficiently.
Beautiful. So thank you again, Brian, for this amazing conversation. And I really think this conversation was powerful because it really shifts everything. It reminds us that these behaviors we judge ourselves for, they didn't come from nowhere. So they were learned, they were practiced. And at one point, they likely protected us. And so if it's something we have learned, the beauty is that we can unlearn it. And when you understand the system has been running your life, you finally have the power to change it. So to learn more about Brian Osborne and his work with Interior Design Your Mind, check out the links in the show notes. And if this episode resonated with you and you feel like it could benefit somebody that you know, please send it to them. Leave us a comment and we'll be sure to answer you. And just take control of your life. Stay tuned for the next episode. Until next time.